if you have a little open mind, just open it up a little bit. Open your mind up a little bit more to the possibilities, just for the possibilities. And then play the game. Play along a little bit and see what can happen. But we as individuals do not give ourselves enough credit for what we are capable of doing as human beings. It is powerful stuff. And I think if people invested more time and energy and resources and playing games with their mind and learning to play games with their mind instead of their mind playing games with them, it's a game changer for them.
Papaya!
Hello, all.
Welcome to another episode of Transform Your Future with me, Eddie Eisen, where I sit down with entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and high achievers as they identify areas I can improve on and guide me to further my self-improvement practice. For more information and insights, join the newsletter at transformyourfuture.com. Today's guest is personal growth expert and life strategist, Gary Cox. Gary is recognized for his life-changing programs. His goal is to help others live an extraordinary life through lasting change. NBC alone has spent over $1 million producing his TV segments on mindset and behavior, as well as Dr. Phil for his show, The Doctors, while he appeared on this show for 3 years. He has successfully broken through his limitations, and now individuals, athletes, CEOs, and corporations alike seek Gary out to share with them his techniques on how to peak at their highest level possible, whether to increase their sales, their potential, or any block that limits their success. He demonstrates how to change negative cycles of thinking to positive programmed conditioning. He's recognized for doing in one session what therapists or business coaches can't do in 1 year. He has authored several books. His most popular bestseller is Don't Let Others Rent Space in Your Head. Welcome, Gary.
Good to be here.
So tell me a little bit about, I'm so glad you gave me some time and stuff. You know, I haven't talked to you in a very long time, so I'm looking forward to this. Let's jump right in and start talking a little bit about your history with your book, Don't Let Other People Rent Space in Your Head.
Yeah, that came about years ago, Eddie. I was doing a program with Harvey McKay. He is the author of Swim with the Sharks Without Being Eaten Alive. And he saw my work, and we were sharing the stage somewhere. I don't know where the heck it was. But we were sharing the stage together, and he said, you know, Gary, you gotta put this into a book. And I thought about it, and he really gave me a lot of great insight. And that was my motivating factor. And I think within 30 days, I had a book deal. And that's how that came about. So that was a pretty fun experience. And then I've obviously got several books since then, but that was the first one.
Excellent, excellent. So what if, I know that you've got a lot of things going on now, and I know I want to kind of touch base on some of the very things that I find very interesting, like how to get rid of the limiting beliefs, turn them into empowering beliefs, really finding the value to drive me to actually do it, right? So I know I've seen some of the work that you've done before about helping people relieve traumas very quickly, to be able to do quickly, something that people would take years to do. Do you want to talk a little bit about your trauma work and that?
Well, I think the problem with many people with regards to their personal life and their professional life, I think often if you are open and honest with yourself, you'll realize that many of the challenges that we have and problems that we experience with money and in our relationships is often a sign that we have things stuck in our emotional hard drive. And if we don't identify what they are, then we're only going to go to a certain level, whether that be in a relationship. I mean, we all have triggers, and you have triggers in your relationship. You have triggers in your business. If you're an entrepreneur and you own a business, even if you're doing $1 million, there's a reason if you want to do $10 million, why you're not. You've got some triggers there that's keeping you. And if you don't identify what they are, then, you know, even though you're doing seven figures, you're going to stay there. And if it's your goal to do more, do better, you have to identify those. And the problem is we don't like to, you know, because it means that we're wrong, perhaps, or it means that we can no longer have that as our identity. We have to move on and change that identity. And, you know, we get attached to that identity and sometimes we don't want to let it go. So there's a lot of factors involved in why people don't want to change and why they don't want to get to that next level.
Hmm. So things like triggers, can you explain a little bit about triggers? Like an example?
Well, let's say that you have, in your childhood, you feel abandoned, or you felt that you saw that your father didn't respect your mother, and you're hypersensitive about being respected. And one of your employees, as you're trying to grow your business, says something to you because they're triggered, and you in your mind just thought that was so disrespectful. And before you know it, you're firing everybody because they're so disrespectful. But that's normal, maybe, or maybe it's something you can have a chit chat with them about. But because you're hypersensitive about being respected, you go fire that person, even though that person really had a lot of value more than they didn't. And that would be a typical example. So now you can't keep people. We could go on and on and on about different examples. Or you have a fear of loss. So because of your fear of loss, you limit your ability to take the necessary calculated risks in business, even though they're calculated, and you've minimized them. And those are just two small examples.
Yeah. So a lot of triggers from things that are like became part of my personality or something like that. Like I know I remember in the beginning when I got involved in business, I didn't trust other people. And so I had to control everything and be involved in everything because I didn't trust people. And then somebody told me, like, what are you doing? Like, this is not how things are supposed to work, you know? And, and I had to take a look at that and I had to say, what is that about? Why do I got to do that? You know? So
Can you imagine growing a huge company without trusting people? I mean, and every time a company who grows that they had their problem not trusting people, but they decided to, they still have people in their company that they can't be trusted or have to be fired because they're not trusted. But that's just part of the growth, right?
How
do you grow a website without trusting somebody? You have to learn to control every single password that's there in your business, and you're going to have to let go. I mean, have I had somebody hold my website for hostage before? Yeah, it happens. But does that mean I'm going to stop? No. So you have to come to grips with some of these things. And if we don't, and that's just not in business. I mean, that's in our personal lives as well. If we don't come to grips with these things, it's difficult. And I think the problem, too, is when we're not able to see it, that's where it becomes really difficult. So one of the things I encourage people to do, Eddie, is when you're having a problem with people, I even do this with my team. I'll say, look, I'm having a crappy day. I want you to know right now the problem is between me and me. Not me and you. So that lets them know right away.
Yeah.
Drop the wall of defense down. Okay. I'm telling you right now, I'm pissed off about something. And if I'm a little short with you, it's not your fault. It's a problem between me and me. And number one, they highly respect that because you're taking responsibility right there, right away. And number two, they're less prone to be easily sensitive or pissed off about whatever it is that you might say wrong or do wrong because you've already given them a heads up. Look, I'm probably going to screw up, but it's not your deal. It's my problem.
Yeah.
Can you imagine doing that in a relationship? How great your relationship or how much better your relationship could be. Say, honey, I want to share with you something before you even share it with them, right? Which takes a sense of wisdom to learn how to shut up and slow it down. So look, I want to share something with you. I want you to know right off the bat, this is a problem between me and me, not me and you. Boom.
Exactly.
Ears are open. Let's listen. Talk to me. What you got to say? It's a total different dynamic.
Yeah. It's a way to ground it in some kind of reality, right? Yeah. Instead of it going into the realm of, you know, I'm pissed off
defense
at you.
Mode.
You did
defending
something.
Defending yourself, accusing, absolutely.
Yeah. It's awesome. I actually do that quite a bit in my relationship. I make sure that my wife is aware that I'm having a problem with me in my own head, that I'm stressed out about something right now. It has nothing to do with you.
Sure.
So that she doesn't think that, you know, it's something with her.
You're attacking.
Right? Yeah. So working with people to overcome these things, I know you've had a lot of success with helping people overcome these these traumas, these difficulties, these challenges that they face in their life. What's some of the ways that I could maybe look at that in order to, you know, like, let's just say I wanted to go to 8 figures and I'm at 7 figures and I want to go to 8 figures. I want to increase even more. What are some of the things that I could look at to help guide me in that direction?
Well, that's a tough question because it's like I was fortunate to do Dr. Phil's show, The Doctors, for 3 years, where they would give me people with major trauma and problems. And, you know, like you said, I'm known as the person who can do in 1 hour what typically therapists or consultants can't do in a year. Mm-hmm. I don't say that braggingly. I just say that based on my results. But without knowing details, there'd be no way to really answer that specifically. One of the biggest things is to, and it depends, what's your definition of 7 figures? Is it 1 million or 2 million, or is it 9 million to 10 million, right? Because a lot of times it's the inability to bring on the right people or thinking that you need more people. But to do that effectively, you have to. So maybe there are some triggers that you have where you cannot keep good people, or you know, we're as the example that we shared with before, we're letting good people go. Maybe we have a hard time letting go. Maybe we feel abandoned, or there is no trust issue. So all these things have to be dealt with, because if not, you're not going to grow bigger. I remember one gentleman years ago, he said, I will never partner with somebody who's a Sagittarius or some bullcrap, right? So, well, that means now that everybody who's an Aries or a Sagittarius or a whatever, you're never going to hire or go into a partnership with them. That is just the most limited thing you can think of. So imagine now you find this perfect partner that's got all the skills, and then several days later, before you make the decision, oh, you find out he's an Aries and you said you would never hire. You know, it could be something that simple. So when I work with individuals, I do an assessment. You know, I don't do a lot of one-on-one work, you know, anymore. I do mostly, I'm doing my speaking engagements and my, you know, my jet masterminds in the Bahamas and whatnot. But those are some of the questions that I entertain in the assessment. So it could be a numbers problem. You know, maybe it is, you're not charging too much, but many times it's a psychological issue.
Yeah. And so, in your assessments, you know, I'm just curious, what are some of the questions maybe that one might look at, or that you would look at to help guide you in that?
You know, it's interesting. It's really not a lot of questions. It's me just listening. I will listen to their thought process. I'm asking them a question. Okay, so, you know, where are you at now? Give me the flow of your business. What are your lead sources, upsell sources? What kind of management system do you have? Who does the books? That's a great insight for me a lot of times, to ask who does the books, because it's often somebody who is a family member, which is the worst person you can have as a bookkeeper. Now, I'm not saying if somebody listening has a family member or themselves doing the bookkeeping, it's the worst thing. It shows to some level that there's a level of lack of trust. For example, let's take a big company. I don't know, Walmart, Disney. Do you think the CEOs of Disney and Walmart have their family doing the books? I'm going to doubt that.
I don't think so.
Right? So these are all things that have to be looked at. And one of the things that I encourage people to do to make really major change in their lives, Eddie, is you have to learn to take quantum leaps. And if I were to, if I get in front of an audience and I ask an audience, show of hands, how many of you here would really be interested, and you believe the importance of making quantum leaps in your life? Could I see a show of hands? Everybody's going to put their hand up. They don't even know what a quantum leap is. So I say to them, okay, you put your hand up, but now I kind of cornered you a little bit. I'm going to tell you what a quantum leap is now. And then I'm going to ask you again, are you willing to take a quantum leap? A quantum leap is the ability to make a move when you are not, let me repeat, when you are not ready. So then, if there's things that you know you need to do in life, you need to make a quantum leap and move when you're not ready. So why do people think they have to wait till they're ready? Because they're listening to their own con game, their doubts, their excuses, their justifications, and it goes on and on and on. Again, these are all parts of the puzzle that I'm looking for when I'm working with people. Yeah, very intriguing.
Yeah, very good stuff. Very good stuff. And, you know, I mean, I do have limitations in my life, but the limitations that I have are not in my head, and I'm not making them, but there are some limitations I have. My, if I have a physical problem or something like that, you know, my knee's no good, whatever. I might have a physical limitation, but looking deeper to see, you know, what other limitations I might be putting in front of me, there are those too. And those I want to get rid of, right? I want to get rid of them.
Sure.
So I know you were talking about funnels and, lead flow and lead sources. Can we talk a little bit about that? Because I know you have this great program that you do every month where you help other people to expose all that, to help them to build that business using those tools.
Yeah, I work quite a bit with authors or coaches, consultants, social influencers to help them be able to do, let's say they're doing six figures in a year, to help them to be able to do that in one event or one day. And again, I think what happens for a lot of people, they don't realize that these things are capable because proximity is power. And if they're not in the proximity of people that do things like this, it's very foreign to them. So I walk them through the whole strategies, how the offer needs to be created. How do you get the attention of the right people? Because stop and think about it. If you have a book, let's say one of my books here, I've got one of my books here. And let's say I profit $20 from this book, Eddie, right? $20 from this book. Well, if I can sell 50,000 people that book, that's $1 million. So my goal then would be, okay, how do I get in front of enough people to make a 50,000 group sale? Well, what if I got on a major TV show that puts me in front of 1 million people? It's smarter to do one presentation one time in front of 1 million people as opposed to one presentation one time in front of 1,000 people. And everything that you do on TV, by the way, gets on the internet. So you get double exposure. So these are part of the strategies. But most people think, well, how do I get that stuff? Because they don't know. So their thinking and their brain and their thought process doesn't even go that way. And when you learn to kind of open up that mind a little bit more to see what's possible, I mean, stop and think about that. You got a $20 book, you sell it to 50,000 people. That is $1 million right there. And if you took that same program and say, okay, now with those people, I'm going to take that $20 book, I'm going to make it a $200 book or a $200 course, let's say. And instead of 50,000 people, I only need 5,000 people to purchase my $200 course. And that's $1 million. And there's 8 billion people on this planet. I'm willing to bet there's somebody right now searching, Googling a product or service that you have to offer with 8 billion people on this planet. So that's, you start opening up your thinking a little bit. It starts, oh, okay, that's starting to make a little bit of sense here. Now it starts to make sense. So it's bottom line, it's just knowing something that somebody doesn't know, right? You got to know. There's some things that I know that you don't know and vice versa. So ultimately, you don't know what you don't know. And if I can expose you to all this, it's a game changer. It's like a $97 for a week and $297 for a VIP. It's nuts. It's all online. It's good stuff.
You know, and you've been doing this for a long time. I mean, I know you for 20 years. And so I know you were doing it longer before I met you. So you have a lot of experience in this area. And I know that, for example, when it comes to TV and getting out there and getting that exposure, you were like a wizard at that. You've got a lot of
connections. I've done a lot of that.
Yeah. So I know your other program that you do is the mastermind. I'm sorry if I forget the name that you called it, but the mastermind where you fly to the Bahamas from Central Florida with some coaches and their members.
Yeah, I'm a big aviation nut, so I fly jets and helicopters, and I've owned airplanes forever. So one of the cool things that I do is I take people in the jet and I take them to Sandals Resorts, our sponsor for over 20 years or so. And they have an entire day to pick my brain about the things that we're talking about right now. And a lot of times too, coaches, they don't realize the type of clientele they can tap into where they can get their clients to come along with us and profit from that. Every community and every coach that I deal with, everybody in a community, there's always somebody in their community that wants a VIP experience. I mean, airplanes have first class, football games and sports games have, the skybox, and the hotels have the presidential suite. And there's always somebody wanting a VIP experience. So I show other coaches how to create this VIP experience with no money out of their pocket. So they're starting to learn the jet life and how to live that literally for free by using their clients' money. And it's not necessarily at all about, you know, the fancy jet and the best bells and whistles. Because if you know me, I'm pretty much of a low-key guy. I just know the importance of flying in aircraft because my time has become so valuable. It's smarter for me to spend $3,000 an hour to buy my time. And you want to get to the point where you're doing that. So this gives people a taste what it's like to live like this. Not to mention, most people have never been on a private jet or at least do it regularly. So when you start seeing it, feeling it, smelling it, you realize, wait a minute, there's another way to do things. And before you know it, your little brain starts thinking, okay, I just got to move the chess pieces just a little bit different here. And your whole world changes and expands, right? And, you know, I have a sign here that says, the luxury sample once becomes a necessity. Once you start doing this, your brain, you can't go back. And then you realize what's capable. And then you start putting this stuff into play and it just takes it to another level. Proximity is power, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So what are some of the... what are some of the experiences that people have had going through some of these programs with you?
Well, we had one guy, Gene, he's done, I don't know, maybe three of these with us. And one of the things I also share with coaches on these programs is how to make another five or six figures at the end of the day. And he ended up, after doing one of these, getting a deal with one of the guests that he brought on, one of his potential clients, and he converted that into a $254,000 deal in that one day. And I know that because the same guy hired me as well for $25K for my speaking event. I did a keynote, you know, 1 hour and 15 minutes keynote for $25K, and we both flew the jet over there together. So again, the possibilities are great. A lot of people in the coaching industry, Eddie, they're doing a lot of one-on-one stuff and you wear yourself out. I can actually be bored because I do one-to-many, not one-on-one. And it's like a doctor or a lawyer or a professional, right? They're, you look at a dentist or a doctor, they might be making great money, but they're wearing themselves out because they're still trading time for money. And when you're trading time for money at that kind of level, you can only do that for so long. So imagine now if somebody charges $1,000 an hour for something, well, instead of doing $1,000 an hour with one person, why don't we bring in 20 people for the exact same time and we're doing one to many? So we're literally now doing $20,000 in an hour. It just makes sense. It's just it's a shift of your thinking and it's also a shift of your messaging and creating the offer, the foundation, and the flow to be able to execute something like this.
Do you find that, because, you know, I teach sales and sales training and, you know, help people to break six figures and, you know, create the life that they want.
Sure.
And, you know, a lot of times it seems like people are lacking the belief that they can do it. Like maybe you could do it, Gary, but maybe I can't do it. Maybe I don't have what you have. You have something special inside of you. Do you come across that often with people?
Yeah, but when I share my story, it kind of wakes them up a little bit from, you know, when I was younger, I got married, my wife and I, we had a baby. Then she tells me it wasn't mine. Grandfather and stepfather died of cancer. My uncle was killed in a plane crash. I get a phone call from my mother to let me know my father had just been shot point blank in his chest, drowned in his own blood. All this by the time I was 21. That'll screw your head up really, really quick. And then I was born and raised in a cult. I left that about 15 or so years ago. That put me in an emotional, mental, financial tailspin. I was $350,000 in debt. So it's the proverbial, if I can do it, you can too. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but it's also exposure. You know, the people and the friends that I hang around with, these are people that do, you know, $1 million in an event, $500,000 in an event. I have somebody I hang around with that does millions of dollars in a day. They're a billionaire. And when you hang around people like this, this is the type of exposure that you get. But if you don't hang around people like this, you become influenced by your number one influencer. And that's you. And if that recording isn't right, you're going to be influenced by that recording that you've limited yourself all your life. So this is how we change the recording, by getting around the right people. So when somebody starts seeing the possibilities and how this is done, then they can start taking action toward that. And it literally changes their game, and it could put them in another zip code.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I agree. I think that saying that I love is, if you want to know who you are, take a look at your closest five friends,
because
that's who you are, right?
Yeah.
And our mamas and grandmamas told us, don't hang out with those people. Don't hang out with those people. But then we get older and we think, oh, we can hang out with those people. It's right. Okay.
I mean, you take somebody that doesn't do drugs and all they do is hang around people that do drugs. It's inevitable. And the other way around, you know, how is it that you see people that are very successful and they have kids that typically end up also, from a financial standpoint, becoming successful if their parents were? That's all they know. They only know about never giving up. They only know about when things don't go right, you figure it out. That's all they hear, as opposed to, you know, you better go to college and get a job. It's a little more secure. That's a totally different mindset.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Go get a job for the post office or whatever, you know, some kind of security so you can have a retirement, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that never worked for me. I always want freedom and, you know, the ability to do what I want to do when I want to do it, you know.
Right.
If I want to work, I work.
And some people need that security. So God bless them. You know, those are the people that work for you, right? I mean, so there's but that doesn't mean you can't change that. But if that's more important to you than freedom, then keep your security.
Yeah. At the end of the day, you're right. Absolutely. It's up to what you want out of your life, right? So if you say you want more, you want to do more, you want to be more, then you've got to start hanging around with people who are more, not hanging around with the same old people you hang around with.
Right.
And listening to the same old tape, like you talked about, and that... oh God, I forgot it already. You said something stuck in your hard drive. Is that what you said?
Yeah. I mean, we all have things stuck in our emotional hard drive, right?
Yeah.
And if we're not willing to clean it out, it's no different than a computer. If you can be typing all day long on your computer, and if it starts slowing down, you got too much stuff in the hard drive. So you got to go and get it cleaned out. You got to start delete, delete, delete. I, on a regular basis, go to my phone and start deleting stuff, because sooner or later it's going to bog down and I'm not going to be able to record something. And when I do record something that's really important, it's going to stop halfway and say, you're out of space, right? Mm-hmm. So, and keep in mind, once we clean out and defrag the hard drive in the computer, does that mean it's cleaned out for life? No. So you got to be on some type of mental, emotional, financial maintenance program to keep yourself mentally healthy, to keep yourself financially healthy, and so on. But a lot of times people treat this stuff like policemen. They only run to them when they need them. So, oh crap, I'm mentally freaked out. So now I got to go get a shrink, or I got to go do this, or I got to go do that. It's not the time to do it. Put yourself on a maintenance program.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. I need to look more into that for myself to keep myself.
Oh yeah, massages, go for the walk. Don't go for the walk. Not when you need it, but before you need it. Have good, healthy friends where you can chit chat stuff, not before you're about to go berserk and bonkers or commit Harry Carey. These are all, I mean, it's like, would you feel comfortable if I didn't do any maintenance whatsoever on my airplane and only waited to when we're flying, one of the engines shut off or the airplane's not starting? That would make you really, really uncomfortable. It's illegal. It's illegal not to follow the maintenance program. And if we made ourselves follow a maintenance program in our relationships, if you're married and you force yourself every 6 months, we're going to a marriage counseling event or some marriage seminar, and every 6 months we're going to go to a business event, and every one day out of the month or 1 hour out of the month, we're going to go get a massage or whatever. These are things that keep you mentally stable and healthy. And I'm not, you know, so egotistical where I say, hey, I don't need any of that stuff. Well, we all do. And unfortunately, men don't like to admit it because, you know, there's the ego involved there, and until they're ready to blow their brains out or they take it out on their family or their kids or their employees or something like that.
Yeah, I like the way you related it to like exercise, right? You know, it's like if you don't exercise, you don't have some exercise every day, then, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to wait until you're really sick and there's really a problem. And then you're going to be like, God, I guess I need to start exercising now.
All right. Now you're an advocate for exercising and changing your diet when you were 300 pounds overweight just a month ago. What's up with that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I like that. I like that. And I think that, you know, it's possible, like you said, if you could do it, anybody could do it. It's just, it's hard work and you've got to, you know, push yourself. I was watching the video, and you said something in the video about when you're working with the trauma person with the snake, and mm-hmm. you were talking about the value and how if the value is not high enough, then you're never going to do that thing. Are there ways to boost the value? Like, you know, let's just say, you know, you talked about how are you going to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go to bed at 11 o'clock at night, you know, for the thing or not? Like, so how could you, how are there ways to boost my value about something so that I'd be willing to really do what is absolutely necessary? Or, well, I just make excuses.
Well, in that concept, we're talking about the two things that you have to maintain the desire and motivation to succeed at anything. One is belief, but belief is not everything. There's a lot of people out there that believe, but still take no action. So the other percentage or half of that formula is value. Value is the level of importance that we place on something. So if you believe that you could attain something, for example, maybe somebody says, yeah, I'm a good speaker. I could speak on stages. But they don't have a high enough value. It's not important to them enough to make the money they could make to impact more lives that they could impact. They're not going to do anything even though they believe. So one of the greatest ways to increase your value is through influence. That is why I belong to masterminds. That is why I have advisors or coaches or consultants or whatever. So the best way to increase your value is through how you're being influenced. There is a reason, There's a reason I had a stack of books in here. There's a reason I read 2 to 4 books a month. I want to be influenced. I'm reading a book right now. I want to be influenced. This kind of influence lets me realize that, oh, I can do this. I can do more. And a lot of it's an attitude too. I just posted something that says, good is not great. You know, great is better than good. Good is not acceptable. And some people don't have that attitude. So if you have an attitude that good is not good enough, then you play the game totally different. And that's why it's important to have this kind of influence, because this puts in your mind the value or the level of importance of succeeding and why you do it and what the rewards are. And if you're starting to have all this kind of influence and all this type of impact, and then being around the right people, network is your net worth, and there's no question about it, it will change your game. But you have to want it enough to maybe pay to play, you know? I mean, you got to hang around the right people. You got to pay a couple hundred dollars to go to an event. I've just recently paid $55,000 to be a part of a program. So it's going to change your game if you're not doing that.
Mm-hmm. Getting in those circles, in the proximity of those people who are actually moving and shaking and making that kind of money. It's
and people will say, well, I don't have the money to do that. You want a quantum leap? You'll figure it out. Move when you're not ready. I remember one of the programs I invested in years ago was like nearly $10,000. I didn't have the money. I put it on a credit card because I don't focus on the cost. I focus on the return. That's the difference between people who are wealthy and people who are not. I'll give you an example. So I will show you my American Express bill. All right. I don't know if you can see it. Let's see. Can you see it? Okay. You can see it, right? Yeah. What's it say?
Yeah.
41,000
and change. Right. Yeah.
I have no idea, Eddie, what the interest rate is on this. I know it's loan sharking. It's going to be what? 18% to 26%. But I'm not concerned about that because I know the return that I'm going to get on that kind of money. It's like if I said to you, look, hey, I got a $100 bill and you got a $10 bill. Would you give me that $10 bill if I gave you a $100 bill? Great return, right? Well, let's say you didn't have a $100 bill. I said, look, here's a $100 bill. You're penniless. You go get me $10. I'll give you this $100. Would you not go to a friend and say, hey, borrow me 10 bucks? And if that friend said to you, I'll give you $10, Eddie, but you're going to give me another $10. In other words, your friend is going to charge you 100%. Would you still take the deal?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because I'm going to give you 80 bucks. Right. And it goes to, if I said, here's $10,000, give me $1,000, I'll give you the $10,000. Would you borrow $1,000 if they charge you another $1,000 on top of that? It's still a good deal. So what are you focusing on? You're focusing on the value, the return. That's why, mm-hmm. like, I, you know, if I have a choice to take the toll plaza or go through the toll and not go through the toll, where do you think I'm going? I'm going through the toll. Why? Because I don't focus on the cost. I focused mm-hmm. on the fact that it's going to save me time. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm going to save money because I'm going the long way, but my time's more valuable. So it's worth the 25 cents or the $1.25. So how you do one thing is often how you do everything.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I love it. I love it. So curious how I want to phrase this is, so like in general, what are some of the misconceptions or the wrong ideas that people have about what you do?
On the transformation part, they have a hard time believing it can be done that quickly. And I think when we limit ourselves thinking that we can't change that quickly, it's not that we can change everything that quickly, right? But we cheat ourselves. I mean, you stop and think about if you've ever been freaked out or you've ever had anxiety before, which mm-hmm. all people have to one degree or another. Have you ever sweat at your palms because you're anxious or scared or your heart rate starts to increase? You did not consciously say to your heart, hey, consciously, heart, I want you to increase your heart rate. Hey, by the way, brain, make my palm sweat. But it does. Imagine then if we have the power as human beings to actually make our palm sweat, even though we're doing it subconsciously, if we could harness that power and reverse that, what we could do to our health and for our health and what we could do to the problems that we have in life, it's a game changer. Total game changer. So all I ask people, you know, if you want to be closed-minded when you listen to me, great, move on, you know, go watch somebody else's podcast or whatever. But if you have a little open mind, just open it up a little bit. Open your mind up a little bit more to the possibilities, just for the possibilities. And then play the game, play along a little bit and see what could happen. But we as individuals do not give ourselves enough credit for what we are capable of doing as human beings. It is powerful stuff. And I think if people invested more time and energy and resources and playing games with their mind and learning to play games with their mind instead of their mind playing games with them, it's a game changer for them.
That's good stuff, Gary. Very good stuff. And so just out of curiosity, is there some point of that you want to bring up, some information that you want to leave the audience with?
Well, if they want to check me out, I'm on all social media. Just you see the E at the end of my name there, Gary Cox, GaryCoxe.com, or they can go to my website and look around. We're very, very active on YouTube. Well, we just got hacked on YouTube, so we're starting over. But we're on all over social media. We're posting 2 to 20 times a day.
Excellent.
Come check us out, or they can see you and say, "Hey, why don't we go with Eddie and Gary on the jet to the Bahamas and we'll put something together? That could be fun."
Let's go.
I'm serious about that, and especially if you're in front of salespeople, that'd be great for them. Great for them.
Yeah.
Get them to step their game up.
Absolutely. Well, Gary, I appreciate you spending time with me. I know you've got other things to do, and you're a busy guy. So thank you so much for spending your time with me. I'm going to talk to you soon. Sound good?
Absolutely, Eddie, and thank you for your time here. Valuable real estate, and I appreciate it.
For more information and monthly topics of interest, please go to transformyourfuture.com and join our newsletter.